sit and close her eyes and use her imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, we'll discover, along with the bad guys, that crime does not pay. But first off, let's discover what life is like in the Riley household with The Life of Riley. The Life of Riley was first heard on NBC in the summer of 1943. Chester A. Riley, radio's riveter and resident hardhat, might have been the Archie Bunker of the 1940s. Riley didn't have Bunker's open bigotry, but his expression of disgust, what a revolting development this is, became one of America's favorite sayings. William Bendix was just about perfect as Riley. Riley was developed as the typical hard-working Joe, easily exasperated but not easily defeated. A leaking roof, problems at the plant, or manifestations of his kids' growing pains was enough to send Chester Riley into pandemonium. In 1945, Riley moved to Saturday evenings and continued there until 1951, The Life of Riley virtually unscathed by the arrival of television. It made the transition easily, with Bendix carrying on as ever after the initial shows had featured Jackie Gleason as Riley. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with The Life of Riley and An Expert in Marriage from September of 1946. Another classic radio moment from the golden age of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Burton Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so. Dio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you.
The amazing liquid dentifrice brings you The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Remember, friends, for beautiful smiles, it's T-E-E-L, Teal. And just for laughs, it's R-I-L-E-Y, Riley, in The Life of Riley. After 17 years of married life, Chester A. Riley considers himself an expert on the subject, and he's always ready to share his knowledge. The other night, for instance, Riley brought home a young man who works at the aircraft plant with Riley, and dinner was just about over.
Gosh, that was a wonderful dinner you cooked, Mrs. Riley. Really wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Morgan.
Mr. Riley, you're sure lucky to have a wife like you've got.
Well, she didn't do so bad either, Bill. I was a very gorgeous bachelor.
Oh, Riley.
Well, you're both very lucky to be so happily married.
Yeah, we sure are. Say, Bill, didn't you say once that you was engaged to some girl of the opposite sex?
Was is right. It's all off between me and Jenny.
Oh, what a shame. Well, what went wrong?
Well, you see, Jenny's a wonderful girl. Only she's very stubborn.
Oh, stubborn, huh? That's bad. Well, what was Jenny stubborn about?
Well, it's about her going on working after we get married.
Naturally, you want her to.
No, I don't.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you how I feel
about
it.
Does she have a good job?
That's just it. She makes more money than I do.
Well, I'll tell you, Bill, the thing is...
And the worst is, her boss is crazy about her.
Oh, you're not jealous.
Well, I think...
Who wouldn't be jealous? Who wants his wife working for a boss who's a wolf? How would you feel, Mr. Riley?
Well, if you ask... That was me you asked.
Yes, sir, I want your advice.
Well, Bill, you take my case. The day we got married, Peg quit her job. And what was the result?
We were both out of work.
Gosh, how did you live?
Well, I came through. I made a subhuman effort and got a job.
But it only paid $12 a week. We almost starved.
That's right. But I faced the situation with my face and did what every self-respecting husband would do. I kept looking and looking until I found Peg a job.
And she took it?
Well, sure, even though her boss was a wolf, too. But did I kick up a fuss? Not me. I played it smart, didn't I, Dumpler?
Well...
Yes, sir. Thanks to the way I handled the situation, after 17 years, I'm still married. And so is my wife. Peg, I'm going out and get some cokes. While I'm going, you tell Bill how I handle things. It'll be a lesson to him.
Gee, I wish I had a head like Mr. Riley.
Young man, you don't know when you're well off. Riley's sweet, but would you like to hear the real story?
Yes, ma'am. Seems to have worked out all right.
Well, yes, it did. But it wasn't easy. You see, Riley had this job at Monahan's Furniture Factory, where I worked before we got married. And he made so little, we lived in one room lit by gas. We couldn't afford electricity.
Are you home?
Oh, yes, Chester. I'm right here.
But I can hardly see you. It's pitch dark in this room. Here's a kiss for my little bride. Peg, your lipstick tastes like varnish.
That's the bedpost you're kissing. I'm over here on the chair.
Well, why don't you light the gas, Dumplin'?
Well, I didn't have a quarter for the meter.
Oh. Well, they say a dark room is great to rest your eyes. But tomorrow is payday, and then we'll get the gas back. Oh, it'll be great to see you again, darling.
Like, I miss seeing you too, Chester. You leave so early and get home so late.
Well, I'll give you a treat. I'll light a match and let you look at me.
Oh, don't be silly. I know what you look like.
Okay, Dumplin', if you ain't in the mood for love, let's eat.
Eat what, Chester? You know we never have enough left to get groceries by the end of the week.
Oh, sometimes I wish we'd never left Brooklyn to go west. Living is high here in Manhattan.
Chester. Chester. Why don't I take my old job back?
Ah, nothing doing. No wife of mine is slaving for old Monahan. What kind of a man do you take me for? I respect womanhood. I'd rather let you starve than have you support me.
But it was a good job, Chester. And Mr. Monahan liked me.
So did his son like you. That's Sidney. I don't trust him. He looks at you the way I used to look at you.
Sidney was always a gentleman.
Yeah, fine gentleman. Tried to marry you behind my back.
Oh, now stop it, Riley. Sidney's very nice.
Oh. Maybe you wish you'd married him instead of me. Then you could live in a classy apartment instead of a fourth-floor tenement like this, where every time the elevator train goes by, the motorman can see what you're doing.
Chester, don't let's argue tonight. Do you know what day this is?
Trying to stick me, huh? It's Friday. Our turn to use the bathtub in the basement.
It's our wedding anniversary, Chester. We've been married a whole year.
Wedding anniversary? We're Dumplin', ain't that great? Why, this calls for a celebration. Come on, let's go to D'Esta Roof. We'll have champagne, filet mignon, caviar, pork chops, and for dessert, I'll give you 1,000 kisses.
Oh, but Chester, we're broke.
Will you settle for the dessert?
Chester, that's Sidney Monahan's knock.
What's that four flusher doing here? Keep quiet, maybe he'll go away. His father gives him music lessons, and that's all he can play.
Now, Chester, you be polite. Come in. Why, Sidney.
Well, my little Peggy. Come here, let me take a good look at you under the hall light. Yep, the same beautiful Peggy Pie. Nothing has changed.
Her name has changed. Just remember that, Monahan.
Same old Riley.
Come here and let me take a look at you in the light. You look better in the dark.
You're so funny.
Monahan, that wasn't a very polite thing to say.
Riley, don't be rude.
Oh, I don't mind him. I can't get over how you look, Peggy. Let's see. It was only a year ago today you married this lucky baboon.
Never mind the cracks about my luck.
Now, stop, Riley. Oh, come on in, Sidney.
Lead the way, Peggy Pie. Hey, it's dark in here. Light the gas, Riley.
Yeah, the gas meter, a quarter. Well, can you beat that? I left my wallet home. Will the meter take a 25-cent check?
Don't worry. Tonight the gas is on me. Where's the meter now? Oh, here. Say, I can't get this quarter in the slot.
That's my mouth, Monahan.
Here, you drop it in, Riley. Here's the quarter.
Thanks, Monahan.
Now light her up. Here's a match.
Thanks, Monahan. But just remember, I ain't taking any handouts. First thing tomorrow, I'm paying back this match.
Yeah, there. That's better. Now I'll tell you the nifty idea yours truly thunk up. I'm taking you old married folks out to dinner. All on me. An anniversary present.
Well, thanks, but we ain't hungry. Are you, Peg?
Oh, no, not a bit. I couldn't eat a thing, but I'll force myself for politeness sake.
Okay, then let's go. You kids slip into your best duds. I'll wait for you downstairs, my new Essex.
Oh, come on, let's get dressed, Chester.
I ain't going.
Oh, but Chester!
I ain't going. If you want to go without me, go ahead.
Oh, I couldn't do that. Oh, please, dear, it's very nice of Sidney to remember our anniversary.
Sounds more like it's his anniversary. That's all I've been hearing around here. Sidney, Sidney, Sidney. If you think he's so wonderful, go with him. Go, go, go.
Oh, I think you're horrible.
Peg, Dumplin, please don't cry. Oh, please don't. All right, I'll go. Come on, let's go. We'll have a great time, huh?
I don't want to go now.
My mother told me there'd be moments like this.
Hey, Riley! What's holding you up?
We ain't going.
Quit the kidding, Riley. Come on.
No, we ain't going. Go celebrate our anniversary yourself. What, Dumplin'? Are you still crying? Oh, please don't cry. I can't stand to see your eyeballs leaking like that.
Well, I'm not crying, but you were rude and you yelled at me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dumplin', but we're still going to celebrate. I went out to Green Speckles Delicatessen and practically bought out the store. Look what I got. Look, one whole liverwurst sandwich, a bottle of lemon soda, and two straws.
But, Chester, you didn't have any money, and he said he wouldn't give us any more credit.
Oh, well, I gave him security. My suspenders.
Suspenders? Well, they're no security.
They are for my pants. Now, eat the sandwich. Go on.
You take half.
No, I ate already. Honest. Green Speckle was in the back of the store arguing with a customer, and while they were quibbling, I was nibbling. Drink some of this lemon soda. Remember I once promised you on our first anniversary we'd be drinking champagne?
Yes, I remember.
Well, if they made champagne out of lemons, this would be it. Here, drink. No, wait, I want to make a toast.
A toast?
Yeah, it's about you. I made it up while I was waiting in the delicatessen. A toast. Here's to you, my darling wife. There ain't a girl that's sweeter. You'll always be my shining light. So who needs a quarter for the meter?
Chester.
Huh?
Do you love me?
Well, Peg, how can you ask me that? Of course I love you.
And you'd do anything for me?
Anything, Dumplin'. Anything. Just name it.
Let me go back to working for Sidney.
Name something else.
But, Chester...
Now, listen, Peg, I will not have my wife...
just as I thought. You don't love me.
But what's that got to do with it? And anyway, how do you know you can get the job?
Sidney said he's got a place for a secretary.
Yeah, I know the place. His lap.
Oh, so fast what you think of me. You don't trust
me. Well, no,
me.
No, Dumplin', I do trust you.
Okay.
You can take the job.
Oh, thank you, darling.
I'll let you work all day for Sidney if that'll make you happy. But remember, when you come home to me, your happiness is over.
Theo will bring you the second act of The Life of Riley in just a moment.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
And now back to The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. We left Mrs. Riley telling a young friend of theirs how jealously Riley acted when she went back to her old job after 1 year of marriage. It seems that Peg worked for a former suitor of hers.
So you can see, Mr. Morgan, Riley was terribly jealous of Sidney Monahan, even before I went back to work.
Well, I guess I'd be, too.
Well, to make matters worse, Riley and I worked in different departments, so we hardly ever saw each other. But one day, Riley arranged to go for lunch at the same hour that I did. He was outside my office waiting for me.
Hey, Riley, what are you doing up here in the office?
Oh, hello, Gillis. I'm waiting for my wife. I switched my lunch hour so as we could eat together.
Oh, swell. I'll see you over at Greasy Gertie's.
Ah, no, sir. None of them 15-cent blue plates for her.
Ah, this is something special, huh?
Yeah, I've been saving up. I'm taking her to Wing Ching Hao's Chinese Gardens. Today, they're serving their Hong Kong specialty, Yankee pot roast.
Hey, your wife's back working for young Monahan, ain't she?
Yeah, private secretary.
I hear how this here Monahan is a terrific sheik.
Yeah, how do you know, Gillis?
Well, every time I go out with a babe from the office here, she always slaps my face and says, "You're as bad as Sidney Monahan." You know, if it was my missus locked up 8 hours
Listen,
a day...
Listen, Gillis, I trust my wife.
Okay, okay, don't get excited. I'm just making some insolent conversation. Say, how come she ain't come out yet? It's after one.
Ah, oh, don't worry. She'll be here. She's probably just finishing some work. Peg wouldn't stand me up.
Well, I'll be going now, Sidney. I have a lunch date with Chester.
Okay, Peggy. Hey, now I've been thinking. My father needs a man inside here to handle the furniture in a showroom. The job pays more, too. Maybe I could fix it for Riley.
Oh, Sidney, that'd be wonderful.
Well, listen, my father's home today. Let's run out there and ask him. He thinks a lot of you, too, Peggy.
Well, I'll have to tell Chester I'm going.
Oh, why not surprise him? If my father doesn't give him the job, he'd be disappointed.
Yes, that's right. Well, oh, Chester will forgive me. All right, let's go.
Come on. Out the back door.
Take me out to the ball game. Well, Riley, are you still here?
Yeah. Peg ain't come out yet.
Listen, it's almost 2 p.m. o'clock. That slave driver ain't got no right making your little wife wait past her lunch hour. Go in there and tell her to come out.
No, that's against the rules. I'm only a shipping clerk. The only time they let a shipping clerk come into the office was once last year when the boss needed a blood transfusion.
Knocking a door. You afraid?
Who's afraid?
Knock louder.
No answer.
Kind of engrossed in their wake, ain't they?
Yeah. I don't like this. I'm going in there and disengross them.
Hey, how long do you think you...
Hey, they ain't here.
Boy, this is a nifty office. Look at that view you get from this window. Hey, Riley. Come here, quick.
What's the matter?
That car coming in the front gate.
It's Monahan's. And Peg, she's with him.
That rat took your wife to lunch. She stood you up for him.
No. No, Peg wouldn't do that to me. Maybe it was just business.
Don't be a sap, Riley. They're pulling the wool off your eyes. This is the way it starts.
What starts?
First, he takes her to lunch. Then he takes her to tea dances. Then steak dinners. And then midnight snacks. With lobster thermostat.
The beast wrecking my home.
Oh, Jenny, you're
in. Listen, Stem, we're trapped. Quick, let's duck behind these filing cases.
Oh, Riley, I think...
Shh, quiet.
Oh, look, Sidney. We left in such a hurry, you forgot to close the door to the ball.
Oh, so I did.
Oh, my. Look at the clock. We've been gone a long time.
Well, who cares? It was worth it, wasn't it?
I'll say it was.
Gillis, what was worth it?
Boy, I can hardly wait to see the look on Riley's face when I tell him he's through in that shipping room.
He's firing me.
Oh, it's wonderful of you to do this for me, Sidney.
Riley, she's stabbing you in the back.
The same back she scratched for me when I had the hives.
You know what, Sidney? Now I'm going to quit work.
Of course. You can take life easy from now on, Peggy.
Who'll support her?
Don't you get it, Riley? He's going to marry her.
If he tries it, I'll make him pay me alimony.
Oh, you've been so sweet about everything. Oh, Sidney, I could just kiss you.
Well, if you insist, I don't mind.
Oh, you don't. How will I do?
Chester!
Riley!
Chester, you've been eavesdropping.
That's all right, Peg. I ain't blaming you.
Monahan, put up your dukes.
Take it easy, Riley.
I'm coming at you, Monahan.
No, Riley, wait!
Oh, my jaw. He's using brass knuckles.
You ran into my elbow. Now, you get up off the floor and listen to me.
I listened enough. I won't stand in your way. I'll go.
I'll wait, you big dope. We were
Don't try to stop me. I'm walking out and I'm never coming back. Goodbye forever.
Riley!
Holy smoke, he locked himself in the vault. I can't. Only my father knows the combination.
Help, fire, police! Help!
Oh. Oh, where am I?
Steady, old man. Steady. You're in good hands.
Who's that?
It is I, Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker.
Oh, Digger, what are you doing here?
I've been working over you for the last half hour. Now just lie there. I happened to be here in the showroom when they carried you in.
Well, what happened?
You passed out and I brought you to. Frankly, it's a little out of my line.
Oh, yeah, I remember now. I shut myself up in a vault.
You shut yourself in a vault? Wait till my colleagues hear about this one.
Listen, Digger, where's Peg?
In the next room, having hysterics. But don't worry. The doctor is there.
Oh, poor Peg. Digger, I'm in an awful jam. It all started with our wedding anniversary.
Wedding anniversary. The first anniversary. The honeymoon isn't over. The flame of love burns brightly. The 10th anniversary, they're getting on each other's nerves. But the fire of love can still be rekindled. And then the 20th anniversary, the fire is full of clinkers. I adore anniversaries. They're so gay.
Well, mine wasn't. Now Peg's leaving me. Maybe if I had a better job, she'd come back.
A job? Yeah. Why not come and work for me? I need someone to help me carry the burden.
No. You've got enough people working for you.
Oh, nonsense. In my profession, we have a saying. There's always room for one more at the bottom.
Thanks, Digger, but I...
Chester, oh,
Peg!
Oh, Chester, darling, are you all right? Well,
Peg, you're kissing me. You're still hysterical.
Oh, you big baby. You still love me?
Love you? Why, Peg, I'd die for you.
Well, then I'll see you later. Here you go, lady. I'd better be shoveling off.
But, Peg, I don't get it. You thank Sidney for firing me.
Firing you?
Yeah.
He's transferring you to a better job.
He is? Oh, that's great. Gee, Sidney's lovable. And don't you worry, Dumplin'. I learned my lesson. I ain't jealous of Sidney no more. You can go right on working for him for the rest of your life.
No, I quit. You see, I've been feeling kind of funny lately, and the doctor says...
The doctor's right. Dumplin', I'm a brute. Letting my little wife work. From now on, I'll support the two of us.
Three of us, Chester.
Peg, you're still dizzy. 1 and 1 makes 2.
Can't you guess what I'm trying to tell you? Soon there'll be a third person coming to live with us.
Peg, you mean...
Nothing doing. Monahan ain't moving in with us.
Oh, Chester, can't you... I'm gonna have a baby.
A baby? A human baby?
Oh, yes, Chester.
Oh, wait, Peg. Darling, sweetheart. You mean we're gonna have a baby? Our very own?
Yes, Chester. And I know he's going to look just like you.
What a revolting development this is. A baby. I got to get a doctor.
Quick, everybody, call the baby. My wife's going to have a doctor.
Oh, quick. Chester, stop.
Peggy, darling, let me carry you.
Carry me? Where?
Well, to the hospital.
Oh, Chester, not yet. Not until April.
April? Well, I'll get you a calendar so it don't slip your mind. Peggy, let's go out and celebrate. I'll borrow some dough and we'll have 3 steaks.
Oh, Chester, I can't eat more than 1.
Well, I can. In fact, it's my duty to keep up my strength. After all, now I'm eating for 2.
Oh, well, that's about the whole story, Mr. Morgan. You can see how Riley managed...
I got the cokes! Bill, did Peg tell you how neat I handled the situation about her working?
Yes, she did. And it certainly taught me a lesson. I'm going to make things up with Jenny right away.
That's it, Bill. Get married. Get married. It's the only thing for a man to do. You may not believe this, Bill, but statistics prove that out of 110 million married people, almost half of them are men.
Gamble, makers of Peel, the amazing liquid dentifrice, invites you to meet our guest next week. You hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Read how William Bendix leads The Life of Riley in The Woman magazine on your newsstands now. The Life of Riley is produced for Teal by Irving Brecker and is directed by Don Bernard. This is Ken Carpenter on behalf of Teal, inviting you to listen again next week. And remember, for laughs, it's R-I-L-E-Y, Riley.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
From September of 1946, it's been William Bendix as Chester A. Riley in The Life of Riley and The Case of an Expert in Marriage. When we return, we'll all discover why crime does not pay as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Crime Does Not Pay was a syndicated program produced by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. It was based on the famous short films of the same title and first heard on WMGM New York in October of 1949 with Donald Buca as star. The show told of perpetrators of crime, often innocent kids who just got in too deep. It ran from 1951 as a sustaining program on WMGM, then picked up by Mutual beginning in January of 1952 and continuing until December 22nd of that same year. Ira Marion wrote the scripts, and Marks B. Loeb directed. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with Crime Does Not Pay, and the case of The Building Blocks, from December of 1950. Another classic radio program from the archives of yesteryear.
Crime Does Not Pay.
How long are we going to hang around here, Stan?
I'm giving him 5 more minutes.
Nice wood, nice bricks, lovely roofing. They'll look good on a school and better on the kind of house we're investing in.
What's the laugh? I told those bums to have men here.
Well, I didn't mean nothing, Stan. They wouldn't dare not send the men over.
It looks like they're daring. What are they? Nothing but a bunch of 2-for-a-nickel dumbheads who can lay bricks or put up a roof.
Well, don't get sore at me, Stan. I ain't done nothing.
I've waited for them long enough. Come on, Hod. We're going places.
Anything you say, boss.
I say we're going to find out who's running things around here. And if the answer ain't Stan Dawson, somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get hurt. Bad.
In the interest of good citizenship and law enforcement, we present Crime Does Not Pay, based on the famous Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer series of short subjects. In just a moment, you will hear Building Blocks, starring Richard Durr. At the turn of the century, the term was graft. Today, the term is racket. 50 years ago, misappropriation of public funds was a practice confined to a few corrupt politicians. Today, such activity is part and parcel of organized crime, founded on the same methods which enable the underworld to creep into so much of everyday life. Intimidation, terror, and death. Stan Dawson was considered a smart cookie in the district where he operated. He and his lieutenant, Hod Westby, were unknown to the vast majority of the plain people in whose midst they lived. They certainly were unknown to Tom Benson, Whitey Walker, and their comrades in the building trades, until the day when Tom, Whitey, and the rest of the union board met to discuss new work for which contracts had just been signed.
All right, man, discussion's open.
Tom?
Whitey Walker has the floor.
Just a question, Mr. Chairman. Will the new school building mean bigger income to the union?
Well, it can and it may not.
How so?
Well, it seems to me if putting up the new school means just a few jobs, then the men working on it, well, they'll be only paid-up members. It won't bring in any more dues. But if there are a lot of jobs, well, men behind in their dues will be paying up and will be taking in more new members, too.
Yeah. Well, has anybody seen the plans? How big a job is it?
The plans are filed at the City Hall. Plenty big, Whitey. Plenty.
Then it should be good for a lot of people.
If you're talking about the new school, it'll be good for you. If you fellas do like I ask.
This is a private meeting, gentlemen. Strangers are not allowed.
Get him, Hod. Strangers not allowed.
Yeah, get him. The big shot.
You want to see us? Wait outside.
Shut up, you.
You heard the boss, didn't you?
I said shut up. I came here for a purpose. You listen.
Do we have to take this, Tom?
I don't see why. You'll see why. Now listen. I'm Stan Dawson. This is Hod Westby.
Never heard of you.
You have now, smart guy. And if you know what's good for you, you'll listen, see? Accidents have happened before on new buildings. Guys can get killed on scaffolds.
We don't have to listen to your threats, Mr. Dawson, whoever you may be.
Sit down, shut up.
I'm the chairman here.
Now get this. I'm running the building trades racket in this town, see? Okay, you get it now, do you? Well, get this, too. I'm declaring myself in on the new school. Truckman's organization has learned its lesson. They're cooperating with me, see? Tell them, Hod.
A truckload of bricks can make an awful mess of a man when the steering gear goes bad all of a sudden.
So here's the pitch. The truckers will see to it that I get the building materials where I want them. You characters are going to see to it that I get the labor to build me some nice places out of that material when and where I want it. Everybody on the school job donates one day's work to me, Stan Dawson. You'll be on the city payroll, but you'll work for me. You work for me, that is, if you know what's good for you. I'll let you know when and where. What you're so surprised about. Look at them, Hart. A real bunch of dummies. They never heard of this racket before. Okay, okay, Mr. Dodge, you got the lot, six of them. I'll pay cash.
I think you ought to understand, Mr. Dawson, the land and that development is reasonable because building materials are so scarce hereabouts.
I'll worry about the building materials. You give me the lots. How much?
$50 apiece, Bill.
So, $300 cash. I'll take title right away. Mr. Dodge, I'm a fast operator. I'm going to have houses on those lots before you can say I'm a bricklayer. Drop in any place. The carpenters will take care of it. They don't know me.
Okay, Mr. Dawson. They usually like the wood off in one corner of the lot. Like about here?
And start unloading. Hart'll give you a hand, won't you?
See? Handle them planks?
Oh, you're big and strong, aren't you, Hart? And if that driver's nice enough to deliver us a load of lumber to this lot, like he's gonna deliver bricks tomorrow and roofing the day after, like we planned, the least we can do is give him a hand unloading, see?
How long are we going to hang around here, Stan?
I'm giving him 5 minutes more.
Nice wood, nice bricks, lovely roofing. They'll look good on a school and better on the kind of house we're investing in.
What's the last? I told those bums to have men here.
Well, I didn't mean nothing, Stan. They wouldn't dare not send men over.
Looks like they're daring. What are they? Nothing but a bunch of two-for-a-nickel dumbheads who can lay bricks and put up a roof.
Well, don't get sore at me, Stan. I ain't done nothing.
I've waited for them long enough. Come on, Hart. We're going places.
Yeah. Anything you say, boss.
I say we're going to find out who's running things around here. If the answer ain't Stan Dawson, somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get hurt. Bad. Okay, Benson, you too, Walker.
Oh, it's you, Dawson.
Why don't you and your hoodlum shut that door, Dawson, with yourselves on the outside?
Still a wise guy, aren't you, Walker?
Wise enough not to play ball with bums like you.
Should I let him have it, boss?
Not yet, Hart. But he'll learn. They all do.
State your business, Dawson, and
you
get
know
out.
My business. I want this union to assign men to my jobs. Are you prepared to pay the regular scale? Are you kidding?
Look, Dawson, we're not sending any men from the school job over to your lots on city time. Get it through your thick head.
Save the name-calling, Walker. We've got special treatment for characters like you.
I've been laying bricks for 20 years. Hoodlums don't scare me.
Let me have a
I'll handle it. Now get this straight, Benson. I bought me some lots, see? The truck driver's got sense. When I tell them one load a day gets delivered to my lots, by mistake, they do like they're told. So I got all the material I need, from roof to plumbing, from flooring to electric fixtures. The city will never miss the stuff. I want that material put together into houses on my lots. I want your men to do that building one day a week each while they're on the city payroll, period. Get those men on my jobs, Benson, and I ain't kidding. That's all. Come on, Hart.
Tom.
Yes, dear?
What's wrong, Tom?
Nothing, Grace, nothing. And what'd you do that for?
Because I want to talk to you, dear.
What about?
I want to know what's been on your mind these past few weeks.
Well, not a thing, Grace. Not a thing.
That's not so. I've been married to you for 15 years. I know when something's wrong. Is it the school job?
School's going up fine. Lots of men working. Good thing for the whole town.
Is there graft, Tom?
I suppose so. The city contract.
But I thought you and the union were going to fight graft, Tom.
We are.
But...
No, but...
There is. Someplace. There's something wrong, and I mean to find out what it is. I'll get it.
No, I'll go.
Very well, Tom, but you don't get off that easily.
Hi, Benson.
Yeah, hiya.
I'll see you at the office.
You'll see us here.
Now, keep out of my home.
Don't be childish, Benson.
That's better. Nice of you to invite us in.
Yeah, real nice.
What do you want?
Workman. In my house. You know that, Benson.
Is anything wrong, Tom? Oh, excuse me.
You can stay, lady.
Yeah, you can stay.
Grace, go back into the living room.
I said she stays.
But I don't understand.
Not necessary.
Oh, but it is.
You see, Mrs. Benson, your husband is refusing to cooperate with a building contractor's protective association, of which I happen to be president. And my friend here is executive secretary.
The Contractors Protective Association? What's that?
We protect contractors against unions like your husband's that refuse to let men work on certain jobs.
Tom? You don't let men work? Well, that's not...
You don't understand. This isn't a legitimate job.
But the contractors... You better tell me, Tom.
Go on, Benson. Tell her about it the way you see it. This man has stolen building materials from the school job. He wants the union to send men over to build for him while they're on city time. Well, that's stealing, too, and we'll have no part of it.
So this is why you... Tom, I think these men are leaving.
That's only your husband's way of telling the story, Mrs. Benson. Oh, I think he'll see it all differently. In a few minutes...
Let go of me!
Take your hands off my wife!
Work him over, huh?
With pleasure!
Why, you...
Hold still and quiet, lady.
No!
You know I'm supposed to know.
You dirty rotten thing! Your breath! You need it! Oh!
Tom!
Attaboy, huh?
Tom!
Kick him! Come on, break a rib or two.
Tom!
That do it, boss?
Yeah, okay.
Tom, darling.
Shut up, you. I want your husband to hear this. I'm going to say it only once. Now, this is an order, Benson. I want men on my lots. Get them over there. Understand? No men, and your wife gets what you got, with trimmings. In fact, get over to my place yourself, Monday, a.m. That's all. You know what's good for you, you'll do like you're told. Let's go, Hod.
In just a moment, Crime Does Not Pay will continue with Building Blocks. The Benson household was an angry and fearful place after Stan and Hod slammed the door behind them. Grace helped her husband to his bed, torn between fear for him and anger at the men who dared to terrorize decent people in this manner. Tom nursed his bruises, controlled his anger, and found himself full of fear for Grace. The following Monday, Tom made up his mind and led some of his friends to Stan Dawson's lots to begin work on the new houses. It was a day or two later, back on the job at the new school building, that Whitey stopped Tom on the scaffolding.
Just a minute, Tom.
I got to get up to the next level.
You can talk a minute.
I can't. I got to hurry.
Why? Because you wasted time on Dawson's lot the other day?
So what if I did?
Look, Tom, you're the boss in our local. The other men follow you. And you're leading in the wrong direction, Tom. Why?
None of your business. Now, let me get up above.
It is my business. Like a lawyer says, you're compounding a felony. I asked my neighbor's boy about that. He looked it up in a law book he studied.
It's still my business.
Well, so long as you drag other guys in with you, it's everybody's business. I'm sore, Tom. I'm not going to stand for it.
The truckmen are.
I know about them. I don't know why they're doing it. But it still doesn't mean you can do the exact opposite from what we decided at the board meeting.
Well, maybe I know why the truckmen are doing what they're doing.
I don't care why they are doing anything.
Whitey, that shiner I was wearing, the tape on my ribs right now. You think I fell off a ladder, maybe?
Maybe you did.
And maybe I took a beating.
It wouldn't be the first time. In the old days...
In the old days, I didn't have a wife.
Look, I know Grace, Tom. If Grace knew what you're doing...
Grace doesn't know about anybody except me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If Grace knew what was happening, she'd be as sore as I am. Why don't you tell her?
She's scared enough now.
So she'd be a little more scared, but you could talk to the guys. They'd go along with you.
They got families, too.
Not Tom. I think you've gone chicken. Well, you can stock this in your craw for what it's worth. No two-bit hoodlum is going to make Whitey Walker do anything he don't want to do. Take it or leave it.
Well, Benson, nice to see you working here.
For me, is it?
Sure. It's always nice to see a man who gets wise. Isn't it, Hart?
You bet, boss.
Trouble is, not enough men got wise.
Now, look, Dawson, I'm doing the best I can.
The best isn't good enough. Work's going too slow on my project. School will be finished before these houses are. Then I gotta go pay labor. And that's against my principle. Especially when I can get the city to pay the men for me. Isn't that right, Hart?
You sure think of every gimmick, boss.
So I want more men over here, Benson. And I want Whitey Walker with him.
I talked to Whitey. He's stubborn.
Maybe I should talk to Whitey.
He still won't come.
And until he comes, his buddies won't come either.
Maybe this Whitey character needs a lesson.
Whitey's got no family. You won't get him like you got me.
Look, Benson, I'm through kidding. I want a real crew on this job tomorrow, understand?
I'll try. I can't force them.
Okay, so you can't force them. But if Walker learns his lesson...
Oh, no, I don't know.
No, but I know. Come on, Hod. School's gonna begin. For Whitey Walker. Today. Hot stuff, eh, Walker?
Beat it. Non-workers ain't allowed on the scaffolding.
Ah, but we're tourists, Walker.
Beat it.
Now, ain't you gonna show us the sights up here? Like that church spire over there? The hot stuff in the barrel down below? Now, what is that stuff, anyhow?
Don't you know pitch when you see it or smell it?
Pitch. Like tar. Say, Hod, remember that character we tarred and feathered a couple of years back?
Yeah, I sure do. Boy, did he holler.
Look, I told you guys to scram. It's dangerous up here.
For us?
Yeah, for you.
How about yourself?
Oh, I've been lots higher than this.
Yeah. The higher, the longer the fall.
Save it. You don't kid me.
One question, Walker. Are you going to work on my job or aren't you?
I'm too busy earning an honest living.
Yeah, you can be honest. Don't matter exactly where you work.
What would a mug like you know about what's honest? Hey, watch what you're doing.
I'm watching.
You better watch how you talk to the boss.
He's not my boss. Maybe some other fellas.
Now, careful, Walker. Let's know when you're in a spot.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding. Look at yourself, talking smart. With me in front of you. Hard behind you. Nothing the other way but empty space and a barrel of pitch. Now answer me straight. Are you going to report over on my lot tomorrow morning?
No.
All right, Hod. It'll be an accident.
Hey, cut it out.
Here you go, bud. A long way down.
Bullseye, Hod. Right in the barrel. Friends, the first business of this meeting tonight is to discuss the funeral arrangements for Whitey. Any questions before we start?
Yes, I've got a question.
Bob Harvey.
I understand Whitey was your friend and all, but I'd like to ask why Mrs. Benson is present tonight. Our board meetings are private, aren't they?
I'm glad you brought that up, Bob. Will you let my wife tell you why? Thank you. Grace?
Gentlemen, I asked Tom if I could come tonight because, well, Whitey was our best friend. We both feel guilty about his death.
Hmm? Well, an accident can happen to anybody in our work, Mrs. Benson.
Accident? To Whitey? He was as sure-footed as a cat. The scaffold was as safe for him as the sidewalk is for me.
Are you suggesting that Whitey's fall was no accident, Mrs. Benson?
I know it wasn't. Tom knows it wasn't. That was no more accident than Tom's black eye and taped ribs were an accident. And Tom got those in the front hall of our house when Stan Dawson and Hod Westby paid us a visit one night.
Tom! Is that why you said it was okay for us to work over on those lots?
Well, I had to. They said they'd hurt Grace. I should have called their bluff. Whitey'd be alive today.
You should have told us. Since when can hoodlums like Dawson pull stuff like this on decent working guys? I move we turn him over to the cops.
But there's no real evidence. Only my word that Dawson threatened to teach Whitey a lesson.
But you can get the evidence.
Get it? How?
You can find a way. You'll think about it. You've got to. You know what they'll say about your union? Racketeer controlled, all that, if you don't. There must be a way to get Dawson and Westby, both of them. I won't rest. Whitey won't rest until you find it.
I got your call, Benson.
You want us?
Yeah. You and your boy, both of you. We're here.
Yep, we sure are.
I want to talk private. Come over here. What's up? You trying to shake down Benson?
Of course not.
I just thought it'd be more private over here near the pitch barrel.
Well, it's awful hot here, ain't it?
You work up above, you get plenty chilly. Don't feel hot down here. Okay. This is private enough. What's on your mind?
A little contribution.
Oh, hiya, Bob. Maybe Stan and Hod here might want to contribute to Whitey's funeral. Flowers or something.
It is a shakedown.
Oh, nothing of the kind. I saw you talking to Whitey the day he fell. We thought you might want to send regrets. You must have been friends of his.
Hey, what's the crowd collecting for?
I don't see no crowd. Do you, Bob?
Hey, what gives here?
No, Tom, I don't see anything. Just the guys I work with who kind of miss their buddy.
Of course, they've got their tools with them. Hammers, chisels, trowels. You know, Stan, that a trowel has a mighty sharp point?
And I sort of seem to see some bricks around, too.
What do you think you're doing now?
Oh, nothing. Just pushing you back toward the pitch barrel and the fire.
You smart, you dumb.
Hey, he's got a gun.
He had a gun. Now he's got only a busted hand.
I'll take care of you, all of you.
Hey, quit coming. You'll get me burned. You get me burned.
You want to go into the barrel, huh? Like what he did?
What do you want? I didn't do nothing. Stand, push them. Stand up.
Why, you dirty.
Will you tell that to the cops, Westby, will you?
Yeah, sure. I'll talk.
Don't hurt me. Don't hurt me.
Okay. Here we are. Vito, Riley, Matt. Always mugs while we call the cops. Okay. Everybody else, back on the job.
Come on,
man. Three of us ought to be able to hold two of these. Three of us, that is. And a barrel of pitch.
Crime does not pay. Richard Durr, who starred as Stan Dawson in Building Blocks, will be back with you in just a moment. Now here in person is Richard Durr.
I think the moral of this story is rather obvious. As it happens, it does not lie with Stan Dawson, although his kind are all too numerous everywhere. To me, it lies with Tom Benson and his friend. Whitey had to die before they realized the truth, that when the decent folk, like you and me, play along, even a little, the costs skyrocket in terms of money, graft, taxes, corruption, let alone in terms of self-respect, and even of life itself. Sometimes it takes too long for the decent citizens to become aware that for themselves, as well as for the criminal, crime does not pay.
Thank you, Mr. Durr. Crime Does Not Pay is written by Ira Marion and directed by Mark B. Loeb, with music composed and conducted by John Garth. Technical advisor is Burton B. Turkus. The events, characters, and names used in the story you have just heard are fictitious. Any similarity is purely coincidental. This is Bob Williams speaking.
From December of 1950, it's been Crime Does Not Pay in the case of the building blocks. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for on this edition of Yesteryear, but be with us again next week and invite a friend to listen too, and together enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show.
Preceding program copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved.